Hello, and welcome to another Forgotten Fantasy podcast, a Gamer's Illogical production. I'm here with my co-host, J.G. Mitchell. And today, we are going to be our last chapter of part two, and then we'll move on to part three, and what will happen to our protagonist this time. So, I hope you enjoy.
Chapter 6. The ship passed by the customs station at the edge of Alliance territory and entered unclaimed space. John and Andre worked on some project in the hold, which meant that the exercise room was empty of Thump and Jerks and could dance in peace. She halted in the doorway. Tanchi stood at attention in the center of the mats. He only wore his camouflage pants and his feet were bare. His quiet ways meant he turned up where she least expected him. During several sleep watches, she had found him viewing nature and history shows from the ship's library. She sat down with him, and they spent a few companionable hours together. Once he watched Tatterall without seeming bored. Tanchi clasped his hands in front of him and bowed his head in prayer, then performed a type of taekwondo. He moved with a smooth grace. His healed muscular back sculpted itself each time he changed position. Tanchi sped up. He punched the air, then flew through a series of rapid kicks. He whirled around. Tanchi stood beside her and jumped. He smiled, caught her eyes, and said, "The blood moons pass through the clouds. A bright star watches, forever lost hope." She smiled. "That's a new pickup line." "Fiery star." His mouth turned down. "Oh, no, no, I was teasing." Anne touched his arm. "Thank you. It's in standard. You must have worked hard on it. I'm honored." "What was on Tatterall? Maybe better." "Oh, yes. Hey, girlie, what's your sign?" He leered and leaned close. "See? I learn your ways." "Ew! Don't learn human customs from a lousy soap opera. And forget the tacky body language. Poetry's romantic," Anne said. Tanchi moved back. "I thought the room was empty. Sorry to interrupt you." "I've done enough. Go ahead." "Actually, I finished your sweater," Anne said. "Let me get it for you." She ran to her room, picked up the folded sweater, and ran back. Tanchi had moved the mats to one side. He stood waiting for her. Anne presented the sweater to him. He flipped it open and tried it on. "It fits perfectly. I love it. Though I hope you're not trying to pick me up." "I'm so sorry," Anne said. "I'm so awful. You've been nothing but a gentleman and a friend." "It's all right," Tanchi said. "Can I watch you dance?" "Of course. I won cups for dancing when I was little. Nice to have someone watch again." Anne turned on a liturgical dance. Tanchi leaned against the doorway, watching her. She stepped and leapt to the lively hymn, then pivoted, her loose yellow dancing pants swirling into a rosebud, then out again to a bloom. "Can you teach me that?" he asked. Anne held out her hand. He placed his in hers. The music started at the beginning. He watched her feet as they stepped and leapt together. The music sped up, faster and faster. Tanchi tripped and laughed. "Oh, no," he cried, losing the beat altogether and stopping. "It's too fast. You dance in the moons and the stars, my lady of the dance." "You're not going to break into poetry again, are you?" Anne felt beautiful. He was the only one who had ever made her feel that way. "The song isn't about my dance. It's talking about Jesus. The one that forgives so humans can sin and hurt again?" He crossed his arms. "No, you've got it all wrong. We're not supposed to hurt people. In fact, we're supposed to turn the other cheek, unlike your god, Doragon, who's cruel and unforgiving, especially when it comes to you." "I'm no longer in the military. He's no longer my god. There are no gods for me." "You're an atheist?" Tanchi looked puzzled, and Demeter had to explain the sentence a bit more than usual in her translation. "There are still gods, just not any for me. I'm Paimon, don't exist. The blessed nothing, extinction when I die." "Your beliefs are beyond cruel. I'm sure God has a place for you." "Your God has hell for demons, from what I understand." "Pfft, the march." Tanchi smiled and changed the topic. "Let me teach you what we would have danced at the reception if I had followed my proper behavior." He pulled off the sweater, folded it, and placed it on the floor by the door. Tanchi touched the wall. The light changed. Soft moon glow bathed the room. Shadows hugged the corners. The air smelt of jasmine and some unknown perfume. The new song pounded with a sensuous beat. Tanchi turned her to him and placed her hands at his waist. He put his hands on her shoulders. I lean forward, you lean back. I lean back, you lean forward. We look in each other's eyes. Follow the beat. They swayed around the floor, Anne reflecting his every move. The beat pounded through her veins, harmonized her blood, made her lightheaded. She stared into Tanchi's eyes and found the deep, dark green of a dangerous pond from her past. A child had drowned in it. Tanchi jammed up against her, his hand flat on the small of her back. Anne felt his arousal. He kissed her. Her lips melted against his mouth. They clung together, swaying to the beat. Demeter whispered something in Menendek. He stopped and straightened. Anne flashed with jealousy and resentment at the interruption. The ship talked to him without translation way too much. Tanchi stroked Anne's hair. He looked down at her with sadness. Fresh blood beauty, find the good man. Love and be loved in remembrance of me. I don't understand. The ship's alarms cried out. The lights blinked code red. A huge thump against the airlock rattled the ship. What's happening? Anne ran to the control room. A March ship filled the screen. Demeter never let anyone get that close. She could make herself seem a piece of rock or space junk in a blink. Why aren't you hiding and using evasive maneuvers? Aborting tubes linked, Demeter said. What's the matter with you? Shake it off. The ship remained stationary. Anne pulled on her armor and grabbed her laser from the cabinet. John and Andre appeared in full battle gear and pulled out their weapons. Tanchi stood in the hall. Her camouflage sweater peeked out from the collar of his armor. He snapped on his helmet. A March military captain appeared on the screen. Surrender and prepare to be boarded, the captain said. No way, Anne said. Shake him off, Demeter. The outer door ground open. Demeter! They snapped down their visors. John, Andre, and Anne rushed into the hall. The airlock wheezed open to a bright corridor jammed with soldiers. The vampires hissed in Anne's comlink. Tanchi snarled and tackled them. The soldiers fell backward into the tube with Tanchi. A March ran into the airlock. Anne shot him dead. The airlock doors slammed shut. Tanchi! Anne screamed. Demeter, open the airlock. He's on the other side. Andre, Tanchi is on the March ship. The tube is now empty, Demeter said. Rip it off, Andre said. Get out of here. The airlock lasers smashed the boarding tube. The ship spun, a sea urchin of prickly lasers. They all grabbed the nearest solid object. The lights went off. Demeter mirrored the space around her and vanished from any searching radar screens. She accelerated, all her plastic and plaster angels rattling in their places. No pursuit, the ship said. Mission accomplished. Andre collapsed on the floor and buried his face in his hands. Anne placed her hand against the mirrored entranceway to steady herself. Her face looked back, pale, ugly, and freckled. He had called her beautiful. How could you leave Tanchi? She shouted. We had to save ourselves, John said. It's Tanchi's mission, Demeter said. He's going to send us the route through the Abaddon Folds, if he's not dead already. We're following the March ship. Andre examined the floor. It's a suicide mission. Send us the information, then commit seppuku to keep the secret. Our wedding's a sham? This was all a Menendek plot, John said. Andre stood up. No. The wedding was a convenient opportunity to get Tanchi alone, away from the defenses of a military ship. He was whipped as part of a plot, Anne said. The homage was unexpected. It could have cost us the mission, Andre said. Instead, it worked out better. No reason for our cruiser to accompany Demeter. And we have to keep things from the Regent as well as the March. This'll distract her from the truth. Anne tensed. I hate all of you. Menendek and March both. Why didn't you tell us? John asked. Since you say you still want me as your spouse. I do. Andre's voice thickened. You've all I've got left to love. I was sworn not to. He looked at Anne. And you almost stopped him as it was. How could I do that? Your kindness gave him hope. He began to love you, but not enough to live. Andre pulled a sheet of paper from his pouch and unfolded it. It was a sketch painting of ruddy moons, clouds, and a bright star above the branch of a pine tree, with Menendek characters down the side. He wants you to have his death poem. It's a great honor. The pine means forever. The moons are him, and the star you. I'll translate it. No, I already know it, and cried for Tanchi and herself.
Thank you all for listening, and I hope y'all enjoyed it. We are taking a bit of a break from our live stream, but we're still making content for you guys, and our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/gamersillogical, and our Facebook is facebook.com/forgottenfantasy. Our Twitter is at gamersillogical. As always, I hope y'all have a good day. Take care and good health. Bye-bye now.